Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if your life kind of feels like it's running against this constant background hum, like alerts, traffic, just endless tasks, then this deep dive is definitely for you. We're looking at that big paradox today, how we're, always connected but rarely fully present.
Exactly. And we're not just talking about like everyday stress. The sources we've been digging into actually define this as noise addiction.
Noise addiction. Yeah, it's this compelling dependence on constant external stuff, notifications, podcasts, even just endless to-do lists. We use it almost like a
A
shield.
shield against what? Like boredom.
Well, partly, but it's deeper. It's used to
Oh.
preemptively fill what feels like an internal void and emptiness.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just liking stimulation, it's actively using noise as a defense.
Right. It's an addiction because it helps us avoid something fundamental, this dependence, psychologically. It stops us from really connecting with what our sources call our essential origin or, our true self.
Because true stillness feels uncomfortable, threatening maybe, intolerable sometimes. Yeah, so our mission today is to unpack the, frankly, quite severe health costs. Things we can measure, and then explore this really radical solution offered by some pretty profound philosophical sources.
Okay, let's dive into that cacophony, starting with the psychology. If noise stresses us out, why does our brain seem to like demand it?
Well, it really boils down to the ego's primal defense mechanism against the unknown, basically.
Amazon.
Yeah, the mind inherently fears what it can't control, and that vast inner silence, it feels totally uncontrolled, unpredictable. So the ego demands constant input, looping thoughts, worries, frantic planning, just to keep up this fragile illusion of control.
It's like a self-sabotage thing almost, keeping us busy so we don't have to face
Yeah,
what's in the stillness.
exactly. Facing those potentially transformative but unsettling truths that only really surface when things get quiet.
So the outside world just reflects and amplifies that internal need for noise. And there are, what, two kinds of noise feeding this?
Absolutely. Two interwoven forms. First, you've got the obvious one, external noise. The literal roar of traffic, machinery, media.
Right, the stuff you can actually hear.
Yeah, and it's physically aggressive. The World Health Organization, the WHO, they actually classify environmental noise as a major health hazard. It directly increases risks for things like hypertension, heart disease, really poor sleep.
Wow. Okay. That relentless sound forces the body into like a constant state of alert.
Precisely. Then number two, you have the internal
The
noise.
noise we make ourselves inside our head.
That's it. The endless mental chatter, right? The worries looping over and over, the constant planning, all the stuff that blocks access to what some call the space between thoughts.
And the connection between them is.
It's fascinating, really. The external noise, the physical stuff, it's basically just a large-scale reflection and amplification of the chaos inside.
So reality mirrors our inner state.
It acts like a responsive mirror. If you're chaotic inside, the world tends to serve you up more chaos to engage with.
Okay, that really sets the stage. Let's get into the hard data now, starting with the digital side of things. Just how bombarded are we?
Oh, the volume is. It's staggering. The average smartphone user in the US gets around 46 push notifications every single day.
46 every day, just from the phone.
Just from the phone, 46 deliberate interruptions trying to grab your attention.
That's, 46 times your focus can get shattered. And the sources say this has a real cognitive cost, even if we ignore the notification.
That's a crucial point, yes. These notifications trigger attention shifts that mess with your performance even when you don't physically check the phone.
Really, just the alert itself.
Just the alert. And then getting back to what you're doing takes significant additional cognitive effort. It often leads to doing stuff over redundant work.
So it makes us less efficient, basically.
Hugely. And this constant state of alert, it's decimated our ability to focus deeply. The average attention span for an adult online is now estimated at just 8.25 seconds.
Eight and a quarter seconds. That's terrifying. Are we actually losing the ability to think deeply?
But we're definitely seeing a systemic shift neurologically. The whole tech ecosystem is kind of built to prioritize what's called involuntary attention. That's your automatic, almost instinctual response.
Like reacting to a sudden noise.
Exactly. Over-voluntary attention, which is the focused, goal-driven thinking we need for complex stuff. And this chronic switching, it has physical consequences. Studies show heavy social media users actually experience shrinking in parts of the brain linked to maintaining concentration.
Shrinking. Wow. Okay, so that's the digital toll. But like you said, we can theoretically turn off the phone. What about the physical noise, the environmental stuff we often can't escape?
Right. That's the invisible threat. In many cities, people are constantly exposed to noise over 70 dBA. That's loud, persistently.
And the effect?
Well, studies show, in those high noise groups, psychological distress rates can hit 59%, and physiologically. Chronic noise keeps triggering the HPA axis, the hypothalamic adrenal pituitary axis.
That's the body's main stress response system, right? For long-term stress.
Exactly. It's designed for serious threats, but the noise keeps it switched on.
So we're basically living in a low-grade fight-or-flight mode all the time, just from background noise?
Pretty much. And that chronic activation ramps up the risk for high blood pressure, severe heart problems, even stress-induced heart failure.
Good grief.
And look at the scale.
Yeah.
Just traffic noise in the EU is linked to losing 1 million life years annually. It's the second biggest environmental health risk right after air pollution.
1 million life years. That's massive.
It is. And there's this nasty feedback loop, too. Being sensitive to noise is negatively correlated with psychological resilience, your ability to bounce back, and positively correlated with burnout.
So the noise stresses us out and makes it harder to cope with the stress it causes.
You got it. It's a downward spiral.
Okay, so that's the physical and cognitive damage. What about the deeper, maybe hidden costs of all this input?
Well, that hidden tax on our awareness leads directly to burnout, which isn't just feeling tired. It's characterized by impaired executive function, attention control, working memory. It's genuine cognitive depletion from just information overload.
And we often mistake that exhaustion, that feeling of being frazzled from switching tasks constantly, for being productive, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. The illusion of multitasking. But it's really just chronic attention switching. It massively increases fatigue, stress, and ironically tanks your actual productivity.
Your mind gets wired for what? Just jumping to the next new thing.
Exactly. Optimized purely for immediate novelty.
Yeah.
And then real quiet, real stillness becomes, well, unbearable. And that inability to handle silence, that's the main wall blocking access to intuition, to real insight.
That sounds like losing touch with something fundamental. You know that feeling maybe Friday evening, end of a crazy week, where you're functional but just empty. Is that kind of absence of meaning what the sources mean by spiritual numbness or soul loss?
That's a perfect way to put it. Soul loss is described as this inner fragmentation that comes from living a life devoid of all sense of sacredness.
Devoid of sacredness.
Yeah. Symptoms include losing vitality, low self-esteem, and exactly that. A pervasive feeling that meaning is just absent. It's like parts of our inner being sort of withdraw because the noise of the world constantly drowns out the quiet within.
So if noise is the thief, what's the precious thing being stolen?
Attention. The sources are really clear on this. Attention is the new currency of the soul.
Currency of the soul.
Yeah. When digital addiction, or just noise addiction in general, constantly hijacks that resource, the soul is essentially starved. And this fuels the inner war, that conflict between the ego wanting everything to be fixed and permanent, and the soul needing flow and change.
So reclaiming our attention is the first step on the way back.
It has to be. Intentionally reclaiming that currency.
Which leads us beautifully into the next part, the revelation. To heal, we apparently need to completely redefine silence.
Absolutely. This is a crucial pivot. Mm-hmm. The core idea here is shifting silence from being seen as just an absence, you know, lack of sound.
To seeing it as a presence.
Exactly. A profound presence.
Yeah.
The fullness of pure awareness. One source puts it starkly. Silence is not absence. It is your origin.
Not empty, but foundational. The field of being itself.
Okay. So how do we tap into that active presence?
The true self is framed as the observer within, that boundless, spacious awareness that just watches the mind stories, the thoughts, the emotions rise and fall without getting caught up in them.
So mental silence isn't about forcing thoughts to stop, because that feels impossible.
Right. It's not about violent suppression. It's about cultivating presence without narration, just watching. When the mind is simply observed without judgment, that's when intuition can actually start to bubble up.
And the sources link this idea to, well, some pretty deep physics concepts about the unseen parts of the universe. Can you break that down simply? Yeah, it can get a bit dense, but the core analogy is this. What we perceive with our senses as empty space or silence is actually the fundamental field that makes observation possible in the first place. Mm-hmm. Think about concepts like dark matter in physics.
Okay.
It's not empty. It's understood as an active, living, information-rich field that underlies physical reality. Mm-hmm. Silence in this view, is the spiritual equivalence, the background consciousness that allows all the forms and thoughts to appear.
Wow, okay. That flips everything. If silence is the active field, then stillness isn't passive waiting, it's alignment.
It's the source of coherence, where your heart, mind, and soul actually line up. And if you think about it, consciousness itself is the most powerful technology we have access to.
Yep.
So presence is the ultimate interface.
Presence is the ultimate interface. I like that. Silence restores that connection, filters the noise through wisdom.
You got it.
Okay. We've mapped the problem, the costs, the real nature of silence. Let's get practical. What are the antidotes? What does science actually say about intentionally practicing silence?
It's remarkably restorative, even at a cellular level. There's an animal study, for instance, that found just 2 hours of silence prompted the growth of new cells in the hippocampus.
New brain cells?
Yeah.
In the hippocampus. Isn't that key for memory and emotion?
Exactly. So silence could literally help regenerate the brain areas damaged by constant overstimulation.
That's a huge motivator right there.
It really is. It offers a direct biological pathway to reversing some of that cognitive damage. Plus, silence helps stabilize the body, physiologically lowers blood pressure, reduces cortisol, that stress hormone.
And those mindful pauses, like meditation, they directly combat that HPA axis overdrive we talked about?
Yes. Meditation shows moderate effectiveness in reducing anxiety symptoms. It works by actively downregulating that hyperactive HPA axis, engaging the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system.
It basically tells the body the alarm is false.
Precisely. Turns off the false threat signal.
Okay, what about getting away from the concrete jungle? Nature immersion.
Yes. Attention restoration theory, or RT, explains this really well. Urban environments demand what's called directed attention, constantly focusing, filtering, making decisions, which is draining.
Like dodging traffic, ignoring ads.
Right. Nature, on the other hand, offers soft fascination. Watching leaves rustle, a stream flow, birds, it captures your attention effortlessly, allowing that directed attention capacity to rest and replenish.
It lets your brain recharge.
Exactly. Natural soundscapes are consistently perceived as more restorative than urban noise. It fits with that principle. The earth does not hurry, and yet everything blooms. Nature has its own pace.
Makes sense. And finally, the big one for many of us, digital boundaries, reclaiming that attention currency.
Crucial. Even short digital detoxes show significant benefits, reducing depression symptoms, boosting overall well-being, simply by intentionally reclaiming your attention.
So it's not about becoming a Luddite, but about conscious use.
Absolutely. Conscious use. One of philosophical sources gives this simple, powerful instruction. Breathe before you type. Pause before you post.
Mm-hmm.
Just that tiny gap can make a world of difference.
You know, looking back at this whole conversation, it feels like the journey towards silence isn't about escaping the world. It's more like remembrance.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It is remembrance. Stillness is the practice of unnumbing that soul loss we talked about. It lets us rediscover a sense of sacredness in just ordinary life.
And the sources seem to suggest this isn't just personal wellness. It's bigger.
Much bigger. They warn that the systemic problems we see globally are fundamentally a crisis of wisdom. The phrase used is, innovation without soul becomes illusion. We're creating amazing things,
yeah.
But without that deeper connection, it's hollow.
And rebuilding that connection, fostering integrity, compassion, that requires the clarity that only comes from stillness.
It does. That inner stillness is framed as the necessary final activation. The critical element needed to guide whatever comes next for human society, for our planet.
Mm.
It's the spiritual and cognitive upgrade we arguably desperately need.
Wow. Okay. So to leave everyone listening with something to really chew on, the idea is that the world is constantly responding to your inner state, your frequency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every conscious choice you make acts as a kind of harmonization with reality.
So the most radical, the most regenerative thing you can do is cultivate stillness.
Because, as the sources suggest, the way you choose to live alters the trajectory of reality itself.
Yeah.
That silence you might be searching for, it isn't out there somewhere, it's your origin.
Go find it. Thank you. This has been incredibly insightful.
Thank you. It's vital work.